In the name of Jesus, we pray for the Holy Spirit. We pray for the anointing to teach, to understand teaching in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Gloria, where's Gloria? Okay, see. She's gone to the wedding already. She needs Akwesi for that one, so she can't leave Akwesi behind. Okay. Akwesi, you never know, you know. Don't be too sure. All right. Amen. Well, tonight I want to share with you about how to know your enemy. Amen. How to know your enemy so you can defeat him. Amen. Now, when I say enemy, I am talking first of all about the devil. Amen. He is every Christian's enemy. Hallelujah. Once you become a Christian, you automatically acquire an enemy. No need for any contracts to be signed between you and him to say that from today you're going to be my enemy or anything like that. No special formal ceremonies required. It's just by virtue of your relationship with God and your new position in Christ. Do you understand? Because before, you were an ally. Do you understand? The Bible calls salvation a translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, which means that when you become a Christian or when you are saved, you change sides, isn't it? You used to be here. You used to fight for here. You used to work for here. You used to facilitate activities here. Now you have been translated into the kingdom of darkness. So you've changed kingdoms, isn't it? You are in the kingdom of darkness, and now you are in the kingdom of light. You are translated into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Amen. So that automatically ends you enemies. Do you understand? Because you now become an enemy of the side that you used to belong to. In fact, in their eyes, you have become a traitor. Do you get it? Because you used to fight for them. You used to help them. You used to work for them. And now you have moved to the other side to work for God. And to work with God against the works of darkness. And he's not happy with it. Do you get it? So from that point on, from the point of the translation, from the point of moving from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from that point, then the enemy identifies you as an enemy and embarks on a project to, first of all, if it is possible, bring you back. Do you understand? Yeah, to bring you back. That's why the Bible says, even when unclean spirits go out of a person, he goes to walk through dry places, and then when he comes back, he says, I'll go back to my house. You see, that there is an attempt, there is an interest in recapturing and recolonizing, if you like, you know, the person they used to have before. You see, so there's an interest in that. So he says, I'll go back to my house. And then when he goes back to his house, the Bible says he finds the place empty and swept and garnished. Then he goes and brings seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Do you understand? More wicked, because if you tie, those of you who have seen live goats before. If you tie a goat with a rope and he breaks it, you don't take the same rope and you tie the same goat. He will break it again. You get it? But you go for seven other spirits stronger than the original one. Do you understand? And then you tie up that same animal, you see, with that, so that his chances of escaping this time are less and is seriously diminished. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can see that the enemy has an interest in bringing us back under his power. Do you get it? Completely and overwhelmingly. That is why he goes for seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Now, if he cannot do that, then the next best thing is to harass you. Do you understand? Is to harass you and to torment you and to frustrate your Christian experience or your time in this kingdom. Do you see what I'm saying? So he cannot bring you back into his kingdom. Then the next thing he wants to do is, while you are in the kingdom of light, he seeks to frustrate you and to make things very, very difficult for you. Do you see? As you try to pursue, you know, and try to obey the rules of the new kingdom. Do you understand? As you try to get used to life in the new kingdom, he will frustrate you, put obstacles in your way, and try very, very hard to make your experience in that place not such an enjoyable one. Hallelujah. And to do that, he employs so many different tactics and so many different strategies. Hallelujah. So you need to learn, as a Christian, you need to be able to recognize some of these strategies and know when the devil is at work. Hallelujah. And be able to identify him and say, this is you. I can see you right here, and you will not defeat me in this place. Say amen. Amen. Right. So what I'm sharing with you tonight is basically some of his ways. Amen. Now, his ways are revealed in his names. Do you understand? The devil's ways and his tricks are revealed in his name. And if you know the names, you'll be able to know the ways. And it is important, if you're going to defeat your enemy, you need to understand his ways. You need to understand where he is and where he's not. Do you understand? What the devil would like you to do is not to think that he's in a certain place, so he can rest there coolly. Isn't it? That is why snakes and so on, they don't, you know, hide in broad daylight and just in open places. You get it? They hide in places. Sometimes you see the place where the snake is the same color as the snake. Do you understand? Like, you see these green snakes, they call them garden snakes. You find them in the gardens where the place is green. So he can be there and you won't know he's there. Do you get it? Then you have other snakes that, you know, once I was in a very dry place in, it was in Nevada, a very dry place in that place, a desert type of place. Pastor Francis took me to see some rocks and so on, you know. And then I think at some point he saw a snake just, you know, and they had the place full of rattlesnakes, they said. They have these little animals there, the snakes eat them. So, I mean, they are all over the place in that place. But the snakes are the color of the place. Yeah, they are just like the color of the place. So you won't know they are there. Otherwise, they'll be disturbed. Do you understand? You can't see the devil. You can't come and lie down, brown snake in a green environment. No, it will be a big problem for him. Do you understand? Especially if you're a snake and you show up in any part of Ghana where I come from. I mean, they will chase you until you die. I tell you, it's not easy for you at all. There's no acceptance. There's no snake relationship at any level of pets. And no, a snake is a snake. I mean, you are a devil from the start, even if you're just a baby snake. You get it? And everyone understands it and will chase you until we destroy you fully from the system. Amen. I think you understand where I'm going, isn't it? Right. So I'm going to share with you some of the names of the devil or some of the descriptions of the devil that give a clue to how to identify him and how to recognize him so that you can gain the upper hand in your walk with God. Amen. Right. Number one, the number one and most common description of the devil is the name devil. Isn't it? John chapter 6 and verse 70, Jesus said that, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Isn't it? Now, he's saying that one of you is a devil. That's different from one of you is the devil. Do you understand? So one of you is the devil would mean that one of you is the devil himself, isn't it? But one of you is a devil suggests that there can be more than one devil, or that there is more than one devil, and one of you is a type of the devil. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He's saying that one of you is a devil. So a devil is more or less descriptive of a particular way of doing things. A particular way of behaving makes you a devil. Do you understand? Like if I say, this is a bag. If I say, this is a bag, you expect it to have certain features. Do you understand? There's a reason why you will call it a bag. It can look even slightly different from other bags, but there's a reason why you call this a bag, because it has certain basic features. Hallelujah. But if I was saying that this is their bag, then we know we're all looking for one particular bag, and that's the one we have found. Isn't it? Right. So we are saying, Jesus said, one of you is a devil. Do you get it? So it means that the devil can manifest himself in persons. Do you understand? Yeah. That people can become devils. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. Now, the word devil comes from the Greek word diabolos. Okay? Diabolos. You know? So, in the area where we live, there are many different things called Diabolos, or Diabolo, Mount Diabolo. There's some Mount Diabolo in the area, isn't it? There's some Diabolo something, was it Vista, right? Yeah, some Diabolo something. Then what? Diablo and what? And Diabolo. It's also a different one. Well, I'm talking about Diabolo. So which one is it? It's the same thing. And one is Greek and the other is Spanish. I see. Well, I even have a golf club called Diabolos. Yeah. What is it called? Yeah, Diabolo or something like that. I mean, and they named it that way to say that it's bad. Do you understand? It's bad. In other words, it's so good, it's bad. I don't know how come you can be so good, it's bad. Do you understand? So, anyway, that is the name of the devil, and it means it reveals his nature. Do you understand? It means to be inhumanly cruel or wicked. Do you get it? To be what? Extremely wicked. Okay? Extreme wickedness. Okay? So, how do you know that you are dealing with the devil when you encounter extreme wickedness? Do you understand? Extreme wickedness and insensitivity, you know that you have encountered Diabolos, although he's not wearing any horns. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of the things people do, I mean, sometimes when you watch the news, you hear about people killing little children, you know, killing, stabbing people. The other day I was reading about someone who was killed very slowly, you know. The person kept stabbing her, you know, slowly until she collapsed and died. Do you see? Now, all these things are actually manifestations of Satan. Do you understand? It is the devil and his nature that we are experiencing when we experience wickedness. Hallelujah. One of the forms, common forms of wickedness you can see in the church or even in yourself is when you do not do anything when you can do something. Do you understand? When you can help something, when you can help to change a situation, and you look on and do not do anything to help to change a situation or to make a bad situation better or to make a struggling situation improve, and you do not do anything, it is wickedness. Do you understand? And it is a manifestation of the devil. It is devilish. Do you understand? When you say something is devilish, what does it mean? It's like the devil, isn't it? Just like reddish means what? Has a lot of red in it. Yeah. So when something is devilish, it has a lot of the devil's nature inherent in it. Can I have an amen? So watch out. You should be careful not to be cruel and not to be wicked. Hallelujah. We should be careful when we find ourselves in situations where we are experiencing wickedness. Do you understand? You have to know that you have come face to face with the enemy and you need to rebuke him in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. Number two, the second very common name, popular name of the devil is very similar to the first one, and it's the name Satan. The name Satan. Now, this word is actually a Hebrew name, Satan, you know, and it literally means adversary. 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 Okay? Now, it's used first in the book of Job, chapter 1. It says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Hallelujah. Or the adversary came among them. Isn't it? Right. And he, as if you know the story, he begins to talk right there and begins to do what adversaries do. Do you understand? Right. So that is another manifestation of the devil. That is another way you can recognize that you are dealing with the devil. When you maybe let's put this one together. Number two is Satan. Number three is adversary. Only because the word adversary is also used in the Bible to describe him. Do you understand? But the two mean the same thing, right? There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. What was he doing there? Do you get it? But he came also, and then said, and the Lord said to him, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Hallelujah. What is he doing to and fro in the earth? What is he doing walking up and down in it? He's the adversary, do you understand? Or the opposition, if you like. Hallelujah. He is the adversary or he is the opposer. Hallelujah. Wow. Now, you will find in life that many times we encounter the adversary in many different ways. Do you understand? We may not know that we have met Satan, but when you encounter a certain level of opposition, do you understand? Or when you yourself find yourself becoming an opposer of anything good. Do you understand? You cannot accept and flow with something when it's not your idea. Do you understand? Once it didn't come from you, you have to punch holes in it. Do you get it? Once you are not the originator of the thought or the concept or the idea, you cannot lend yourself to it. In other words, you cannot yield yourself and allow someone's idea or someone to lead you or be governed by someone else. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that is opposition. You get it? And it has many other cousins, rebellion, so many different things. Do you get it? But it's all a manifestation of the devil. Do you get it? You will find that many times when you set about to do something good, then something comes your way to come and oppose it. Hallelujah. You set yourself up. You've decided, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Then you begin to see that there is opposition to it. Right there, you should know that you are not dealing with a person per se, but you are dealing with a devil. Do you understand? That means an expression of the devil. Hallelujah. You are dealing with that. And it's very, very common. And it's very common, not only on the outside, but it's something that we become very, very easily. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We ourselves become that very, very easily. Now, the Bible says First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil, isn't it? It says, your adversary, the devil, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Can you see that? Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, says, your adversary, can you see that? Every Christian has an adversary. Says, your adversary. Do you get it? That is, he becomes your adversary, not by choice, not with your permission. He just is. Do you get it? So, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So, that also means not everybody is devourable. Isn't it? Otherwise, he wouldn't be searching for whom he may devour. But some people are particularly devourable and others are not. And the Bible says, if we resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It says that the way to handle the adversary is to resist him. Do you understand? Yeah, it's to resist the opposition, to resist him. That is the way to handle the adversary. And it says that if we do that, we are going to have victory. Can I have an amen? Amen? So you must learn to watch out for opposition. Watch out for things that are thrown in your way. As you are trying something new, as you are extending yourself into something you haven't done before, or trying to gain some more ground, or trying to gain some new heights in something, just trying to do a little better, trying to extend yourself into new areas, you know, and trying to just move and advance a little bit. The opposition you encounter is right there from the devil. That's what the Bible is teaching us. Hallelujah. It is the devil you are encountering, and we need to rebuke the devil and rebuke that opposition in the name of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you have to learn yourself also how not to be an opposer. Do you get it? You have to learn how not to be the opposition yourself. It's okay to have a different idea. It's okay to make suggestions. Do you understand? But you have to learn how to flow even when your suggestion is not taken. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you have to learn how to flow. There are some people who would like to say that, look, when I talk to you, you don't listen. When I do this, you don't listen. Why you don't? You know, somebody was telling me the other day that he has someone in his church who is supposed to be helping him, and the person always is saying, when I talk to you, you don't listen. When I talk to you, you don't listen. You see, now that way of thinking when you are somebody's helper It's a bad way of thinking. You get it? It's indirectly you want to lead the person. Do you understand? Yeah, that is what it is. In the name of help, you are actually trying to control the person. Do you understand? Because you are not the leader. He is the leader. And if he is the leader, he is going to make the decision. Yours is to make a suggestion. When you make the suggestion and he doesn't take it, it doesn't mean that. But when you insist that your suggestion has to be taken, then you are actually driving the car from the back seat. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So you can see that that happens and it's a source of confusion all the time. You get it? So this person was very upset or something, was telling his pastor to apologize to him or something like that for some whatever it is that had happened at the time. Anyway, but I'm trying to help you to understand that you must be careful that you don't become the opposition just because, and the doorway to becoming the opposition is when your idea is not taken or when something is said that is not what you would have done. Do you understand? You have to learn to flow with other people's ideas. You have to learn to accept and bring yourself under authority and allow yourself to be led. You understand? Even though you have a different idea, even though you would have done it differently, you are not the one leading. Do you understand? And you have to learn to flow. And often when you flow, you will see that there is more than one way of doing something. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. And even if it's the wrong way, the Bible says where the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord will command the blessing. So you see, the blessing that comes upon the house because of the unity actually has a way, or it contains an ability to correct wrong things. Do you understand? It causes, when the blessing is upon you, it causes all things to work together for good anyway. So if good is going to be the outcome anyway, then it doesn't even matter how the things are working out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if good is going to come out of it anyway at the end, then it doesn't really matter how the things are working out. Because all things will work together for good in the end. Because there is a blessing. The Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So even the things that are supposed to become negative, you'll be surprised that there will be a positive outcome in all of those things. If you rather behave in a way that brings a blessing upon the house and upon the church. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So know that if you find yourself opposing all the time, you get it? One of you is a devil. That's what Jesus said. You get it? See a manifestation of the adversary is being experienced, or the adversary has come into the situation and he needs to be dealt with. Say amen. Amen. The next one is the accuser of the brethren. How many have you got? Four. Number four is the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. Amen. Amen. And I heard a loud voice. That's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Hallelujah. Now this particular verse here, I think it explains to us that verse in the book of Job. Can you give us that verse in the book of Job again? Because the sons of God had gathered together, and to our surprise, Satan is also in their company. He has also come. And what is he doing there? Do you understand? Now, when you read the account, you see, it says there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves, and Satan also came among them. Verse 2, the next verse, verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Then the next verse, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for nothing or for naught? And then he says that it is because you have made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. Okay? Now, the Bible says, the accuser of the brethren, who accuses the brethren before God day and night. Now, look at what is going on here. God is just asking a simple question. Have you considered this guy? And look at God, what God has to say about the same person. Go back to verse 6, please, or verse 7. It says, Hast thou considered my servant Job? Oh, no, verse 8. Verse 8. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? This is how God is looking at the guy. Do you understand? Now, the devil says, this guy, no. Verse 9. He is not like you think. Can you see that? He is not the way he appears. He is not serving you for nothing. He is serving you because you have made a hedge about his house and about what that he, everything he has on every side, and has you have blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. But if you put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, you will be surprised. Can you see that? He's telling the Lord, you will be shocked. Yeah. This guy that you are calling good, this guy that you say is perfect, who eschews evil and is an upright man, he has another side you don't know. Do you understand that? Yeah. And if the circumstances are right, you'd be shocked what you will experience. That is the work of the devil. That is the way he is. The accuser of the brethren before God. Do you understand? Accusing the brethren, accusing, finding fault, you know, extracting faults even where they are not. Do you understand? Okay, how perfect can you be? I mean, how, you know, the person is standing before God, the judge of all mankind, who sees into the hearts of all people. And God says that the person is like this. But you find someone who is able, in spite of how God is seeing the person, and in spite of what God is saying about the person, you find someone who before God has a different opinion and is not even afraid to say it in front of the God who is the judge of all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The accuser of the brethren. You must watch out that you do not become an accuser. Amen. When you experience accusations, you are experiencing the devil. Amen. When you experience accusations and you experience things that are being said, you know, and it's like an attempt to label you a certain way and put you in a certain box. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to know that the accuser of the brethren is there. Hallelujah. Sometimes we know of one mistake someone has made, and that becomes our definition of the person. Do you get it? You know of something that, but you see, life is longer than one mistake that somebody makes. Can I have an amen? Life is longer than one mistake that somebody makes. It should not label him or her. It should not become the definition of the person. You get it? Some people have made mistakes, but life is longer. Do you get it? Life is longer. The race is not finished. Have you, if you've watched people who are running a long distance race, you see who is leading often changes. You get it? Especially when you're watching, like I was watching yesterday or the day before, some race cars. And they were racing on the track and going round and round and round and round and round. And you see that in the course of the race, different things happen. You get it? And I was getting some revelation there. And you see some car that was in the front. At some point, it's in the middle. Then at some point, it needs to check out so they change the wheels. You know, and when they change the wheels, it puts it somewhere in the back. And it tries and it comes. And then you see in the end, somebody that was in the back. You get it? There was an accident. You see, there was an accident. Somebody did something wrong and 25 of the cars ended up colliding with each other. Then some guy from the back, while they were sorting out the collision, he just came, and that was on the last lap. So he just came, and then he waved his hand, "I'm first." And the race was over, I tell you. Yeah, it's not to the swift at all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you must not be quick to write people off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must understand that there is more to life than one mistake that somebody has made. Hallelujah. And when you understand it that way, you become less accusative. You understand? And it becomes less likely that you will be used by the devil to express himself in this particular area. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting how the devil is looking at all these things? The guy is blessed. God is very happy with him, has blessed him. He says, "This is your blessing you have given to him." That's why he's singing praises to you. How? How do you go to church, somebody is singing, lifting up his hands? How do you read a motive into it? That is because of something he wants. Are you getting it? Yeah. He's doing something. He's even preaching. Do you get it? How do you read a different motive into it? He's saying this because of that. He's saying this because he wants money. He's saying this because he wants this. You get it? So you can see that something good that someone is doing, it is the accuser of the brethren who comes up with ulterior motives and other reasons why the person is doing what he's doing. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? Okay. So watch out for the accuser and do not become an accuser yourself. Hallelujah. Do not become an accuser yourself. You become an accuser when you insist. You see, when you go to court, you see when they bring the prosecutor. The other name for prosecutor is accuser. You get it? When they bring that, he's supposed to make a case. You see that he's not saying it just one time. You get it? Because he will say, then they'll ask the person, "How do you plead?" You say, "I plead not guilty." It should have ended there. He says, no. It's not going to end here. Then he'll bring a point. Then they'll bring a witness. Then they'll bring this. That's the accuser. The accuser is trying. See, I'm not saying the prosecutor is the devil, but it's the best example and best illustration of what I'm talking about. Do you get it? Yeah. They're relentlessly, you know, pursuing the case and pursuing the issue and the point until the thing sticks. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So we must be careful that we don't become that. Hallelujah. When you're walking in love, the Bible says love believes all things. They didn't say all things are believable, but you just decide to flow. This is what you say. Okay, I flow with that. Hallelujah. And it will deliver you from being the accuser. Say amen. Amen. All right. Next one. How many have you got?
Four.
Okay. Let me give you five. And then we'll continue next time. Amen. Okay. Are you blessed already? Okay. Next one is Belial. The next one is Belial. B-E-L-I-A-L. Belial. Belial. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 15 is where you find this name. It says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Have you found it? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Belial means worthless. okay, is a word that means worthless. Okay? It is the art of making valuable things worthless. Something that you should be holding and cherishing. You get it? Suddenly you begin to degrade the thing, you see, and to cause it to lose its value. Do you understand? So when something that is otherwise valuable, something that is supposed to be valuable, something you are supposed to cherish, something that's supposed to be important to you, something you are supposed to seek to preserve and keep, do you understand? When that thing loses its value to you, you have begun to experience the works of Belial. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And it is this that manifests itself, especially in young people. You see the devil turning many young people into worthless people. Do you understand? Many of them end up in prison. You see, I think it was a few days ago that I saw they were sending somebody to prison. The guy is serving a life sentence. He's going to prison for life. And he's only 20-something, like 23 or something like that. And just think about it. 23 years old, you are just going to be... I mean, can you imagine a whole human being? A whole human being. And a human being is a very, very, very precious thing. You get it? A human being is a bundle of potential, a bundle of creativity. Think about it. This was built by a human being. Airplanes are made by people. That's how capable a human mind is. Now we're going to take this person and we're going to put him in a small room for the rest of his life. Do you get it? Yeah. And of course, there's a reason for that. Do you see? But the thing that causes that reason for that is where the expression of the devil is. Isn't it? Yeah. The expression of the devil is in what the person does that makes him deserving of such a punishment. Hallelujah. Right? So you see a lot of young people doing drugs, you know, selling drugs, don't want to go to school. I mean, one of the first signs that the devil is interested in your life is when he takes out away from you the interest in school. Yeah, because that's the first step towards worthlessness. You are just going to grow. Your brain is going to grow with nothing in it. Do you understand? Yeah, because as for your body, as long as you continue to eat food, it will continue to expand. It will go upwards. It will go sideways. It will enlarge. Do you understand? And you are put in school so that a certain development of the brain can keep up with the size and the body that is also developing. But you have some people, the first thing, they don't want to go to school. That's all. Truancy. And they start to dodge classes and so many things. It's the first step. And you won't know. You won't know that this is actually what is happening. Because at the time, it looks like it's the right thing to do. In fact, it looks valuable. You get it? It looks valuable. It looks like an achievement. To be able to stay out of school is an achievement. To be able to tell people you were in school but you didn't go to school. You feel like you are smart. Do you understand? And you have a lot of other people, or you may have a few other people around you who also celebrate that way of living. So you, before them, you are like a hero. Do you get it? But the devil has begun to work with you and to sow seeds of worthlessness. Do you understand? And to lead you along the path that gives you zero value in the end. So you see that in the end, there is no value to you. Nobody wants to employ you. Nobody wants to, you can't even earn a living. You can't do anything because you are not worth anything. You get, even when you beg someone to hire you, they don't want to hire you because you are not worth anything to them. There's, you don't have any value. There's no value to you. Hallelujah. So we need to be careful when the enemy attacks us in this particular way. When he causes you to throw away valuable things. Do you understand? He causes you to throw away valuable things, something that is valuable, something that can be a blessing to you, something that can help you, something that can move you forward, something that can bring a change in your life, then he begins to make you lose, make the thing lose value in your sight. Do you understand? And you begin to devalue the thing. It loses its importance. Its importance, I mean. Things like even relationships. I was just listening. Bishop was preaching about relationships tonight. I was just listening to it, you know, on my way here. But you find relationships, for example, are some of the most valuable blessings that a person can have. Do you understand? Yeah. And you find that the devil works also to attack that. Do you understand? He works to attack that so that you, the thing starts to lose its value to you. And then in the process, it loses also its ability to be a blessing to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's important. You need to learn to watch out for this particular trait of the devil, Belial. Do you understand? Which is making things worthless and making people worthless and degrading things and causing things to lose their value. Amen. That is the devil at work. When you see it, you should say, no, 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 no. Not here. Not this time. Not in my place. Hallelujah. Right. Okay. I think I'm going to end here. And, you want another one? Okay. I'll give you one more. One more. One more is, the next one is the angel of the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. Angel of the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 9 verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. Okay, so he is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, the bottomless pit is the final destination of the devil, isn't it? That is where Satan is going to end up. Hallelujah. Now, it is because the devil is going to end up in this place that he is working tirelessly to try to bring people with him into that place. The devil is trying to capture the whole world, if it is possible, and bring the whole world with him to such a place. He is the angel or the messenger or the champion of the bottomless pit. Do you get it? And he wants to bring people with him into that place. That is why he fights every chance people have even to be saved. Do you understand? Because salvation is the key out of the bottomless pit. Salvation is the way to go out of the bottomless pit. And that is why the devil, the Bible calls him one of the other names you see, is the god of this world. You see, and one of the things he does as the god of this world is to blind the eyes. The Bible says he blinds the eyes of people lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel, so that they will not see the light that takes them out of the darkness. Because if you were in darkness and you saw a little bit of light, you would naturally start to advance towards it. You begin to move towards the light. And so if people could see the light which is around, the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. So the light is there. So when the light is there and you can't turn it off, the next thing you can do to create darkness is to blind the individual within the light. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So as we are here, the lights are on. You can't turn this off. So what we can do, or what you can do, is to do this. As soon as you do this, in your own private world, you have created darkness. You can't see anything. You understand? In your little world, you see that you are in darkness. Or if we were to blindfold you, tie something around your eyes, you will see that in your little world, in spite of all the light that is around, you are experiencing darkness. And that's what the devil is good at. That's what he wants to do. So he's the God of this world. And what he does is he blinds people. He puts a blindfold around people's heads, lest they should see the light. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them. He doesn't want them to be saved. He wants to keep them in darkness. He's kept whole nations, whole cultures, whole people groups, you know. He's captured the whole people. He has assigned to them their religion, given them what to believe. And you cannot break through it. You cannot penetrate. There is no way unless God makes a way. You cannot, even in some places, you cannot even have a church. You get it? Yeah. You cannot even have a church. You can't set the lamp somewhere for its light even to begin to shine. No, there's no place like that for, there's nothing like that, no place like that in this place for anything like that. Hallelujah. Amen. There are places like that. That's why we need to pray for people. One of the ways to pray for people who are not saved is for that blindness to be removed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, don't just pray that they go to church. The key thing that needs to come off is this blindness. The scales have to fall from off their eyes. The scales have to come off so that they will suddenly begin to see the light. Because as for the light, it's there. The light of the glorious gospel is there. As it's being preached, it's there. But people need the Lord. Their eyes need to be open. Do you understand? The darkness causes them to argue. The darkness causes them to resist. But when the light shines bright enough, you cannot argue. There is no more argument. Do you get it? The light shines, and the Bible says, the darkness comprehendeth it not. The darkness cannot handle it. Do you get it? As the light shines, the darkness is no match. So your prayer must be more of the light, the brightness of the light, to remove the darkness that has come because of whatever is on them. The Bible says it's the God of this world who does that. Hallelujah. So I've given you two. I've actually given you, what did I give you? The angel of the bottomless pit. And then the next one is what? The God of this world. Hallelujah. So he is the God of this world. The God of this world, he is the one who controls the course of this world. Do you get it? He controls the course, the systems, the way the world operates. He governs the value system of the world. That is why you will find that many things that are valuable in Christ are the opposite in the world. Do you understand? The world finds us funny. They don't find it valuable. Why should you go to church during the week? If you're going to work, your clothes, you should be sleeping. But it's okay to stop by a bar and go home at the same time. Yeah, happy hour. It's okay to go home at the same time as those who went to church, so long as you didn't go to church. Do you understand? They who went to church, they are wasting their time. They did something. Don't they have anything to do? Do you see? But those who stop by the bar, they are enjoying life. They are really feeling free and really enjoying the fruit of their labor. You see, it's the God of this world who represents himself that way to people. And he sucks millions in. And many, many people are taken in by the tricks and the lies of the God of this world. You know, and he has used the world to blind them. Do you understand? To blind them. The God of this world has blinded their eyes with the world and the things in the world. You know, that is why the Bible says if we're going to follow God, it says you must not love the world or the things that are in the world. You know, because it is the connection. A love affair with the world is a love affair with the God of this world. Do you understand? And before you know it, you have been sucked in by him. You have been pulled in by him, and you have now become one of the people he's holding captive. Remember, he wants you back. You get it? That translation into the kingdom of light is not something he's happy with. And he wants to retranslate you into the kingdom of darkness. And he uses the world and what it has to offer. You understand? The bright lights, the nicer things of life, the things the world values, the way the world dresses. I mean, what the world says is trendy, you know. And you just wonder sometimes, who is behind all this? Who is the one who sits down and says, this is how what we're going to wear now? Do you get it? Because if you live long enough, you begin to see that the thing goes in cycles. It looks more like we wear one thing and get tired of it and go back for the old one, you know. And then we just go back in circles and in circles. I mean, some time ago, your mother would not let you go out with jeans that had holes in them. Is it not true? Yeah. Jeans that have holes in them. No. You cannot go out. You get it? Yeah. So it means poverty. But now jeans with holes in them, it means you are rich and trendy. you get it? Yeah. I mean, when your jeans were faded to a certain point, it means they are old. It means you've washed them and washed them and washed them and washed them. No. Now they do the washing for you at the factory and wash it and wash it and wash it till it's very old, and then they come and sell it to you. You get it? So these are all things and systems and ways of the world. Hallelujah. Right. We are in the world, so we will wear them and all that. But what God doesn't want us to do is to love the world. Do you understand? Because it's risky. It brings you into the hands of the God of this world. Hallelujah. The God of this world is not the God we know. The God of this world. That means the God that this, or what this world worships. Do you understand? What this world worships, that's the God of this world. What this world worships is not the God that we know. That is why this world does not make provision for going to church on Sunday. That's why reading your Bible is not popular. Do you get it? Because that's not what people worship. That's not the God of this world. Do you understand? The God of this world is not the God that we serve. And we must be careful not to be worldly. Because if we become worldly, then we will acquire a new God and worship a new God. Hallelujah. Right, so I think we can end on that one. How many have we got now?
Seven.
Okay. So, let me see if I should stop on seven. I don't think we are. Oh, wait, this time anyway. So, it's okay. Let's stop here and we'll continue next week. Okay? All right. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So next week, I'm going to continue and I'll give you some more. Amen. So tell the rest of the people, I'm preaching about the devil, how to know your enemy. And so they should come to church. Tell Sheila, tell Jean, tell Gertrude, tell Sandra, Samuel, who? Jose, Shegun, Romy, Gloria. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we thank you once again for tonight. Thank you for your word. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless our understanding. Help us, Lord. Deliver us from evil and the ways of the devil and the ways of darkness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.